I'm going to actually talk about something very specific that we're going to be doing. Actually, backing up, this is, I'm going to talk about an exercise that we did in 2008 that we're actually going to be doing for real this fall. So I'm going to talk about the DAX 2008. Before I do, though, I wanted to recognize a few of my colleagues that were co-authors and co-participants in this whole effort. A number of them are actually from the Immunization Services Division that we've worked with. So I'll talk a little bit about the background of why we're doing this, some of the results of DAX 2008. And then feedback from the exercise, as well as what we're doing for H1N1. Some acronyms that, as everybody knows, the acronyms are quite common in the government. And so there are just a couple of acronyms that I wanted to point out. The COTPR, Coordinating Office for Terrorism Preparedness and Emergency Response. CRI and MSA, we actually collected information from the Cities Readiness Initiative and Metropolitan Statistical Areas, Division of Emergency Preparedness and Response, National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. These were partners on this effort. Of course, people know the National Center for Public Health Informatics. Public Health Emergency Preparedness grantees were the major participants in this effort. We're referring to PI, pandemic influenza, and then last but not least, SNS refers to the Strategic National Stockpile. So what is this all about? People are aware the National Strategy for Pandemic Influenza calls for monitoring scarce pandemic vaccine. So this was something that was established, I think it was around 2006 that the plan came out. This effort was assigned to CDC as a requirement to support the pandemic plan. And so what we've been working on in the last couple of years is a method to actually provide monitoring. So there's a system called the Countermeasure and Response Administration, which is a informatics tool that was actually developed in the smallpox days. Some of you may remember the PVS system. And that system has since evolved and has been modified to support flexible methods for reporting vaccine doses administered. So as you're aware, a pandemic has been has been declared in June, and so we will be using this, what we did in this exercise, to actually do the real thing this fall. So what are the methods for reporting this information? There's three methods. The first is the option, we call these option one, two, and three. Very simple. The first one is to leverage existing immunization information registries, which are pretty plentiful throughout the country. So the idea is that collect the detail within the immunization registries and then extract a subset of data to be reported to the CDC via multiple methods. Of course, we are interested in having the standards, but recognize, as was pointed out earlier, that not all the states, not all the public health is using the standards. So whatever method that this information can get to CDC. Another option is option three, which is to use the CRA application to collect the detail. And then we'll extract the information from there. And then finally, option two is really a method if you're using, for whatever reasons, if you perhaps you don't have the links between the immunization registry and the CRA, this is a method to just enter information directly into the web at any level, whether it be one time at the state level or all the way down to the clinic level. And this is just gives you an idea of the level of data that we're talking about. So we're talking about very basic information, very summarized information. And this happens to be the pandemic data set. The H1N1 data set I'll talk about is just a little bit different in that it focuses on age group in addition to dose number. But the exercise that we did focused in on the priority groups, in particular for the general population. So it's very basic information, project area, reporting period, vaccine type, and then priority groups. The intent is to monitor that the vaccine is actually getting to the appropriate groups, as well as providing safety information, denominator data. So we worked the last couple of years to establish what the data elements were, how we were going to get it to CDC, and we needed to test out, you know, could this actually be something that would work? So we actually had a very modest pilot that we established in 2007 that we conducted that basically said, let's have the project areas, the 62 project areas, FEP project areas, report to us over a two-month period from two clinics. So the idea was let's show that we can repeat this and that the states could actually extract the information, send it to us, and that we could actually collect it, accept it, collect it, and report it. So that was the 2007 pilot. And then 2008, we wanted to expand this to better, more closely match pandemic conditions. So we went to over a three-month period, we went to a weekly reporting approach. We increased the volume, requesting eight clinics instead of two. And we asked that general priority groups be tracked. So what I'm gonna just talk about here was, you know, what were the results of that, and hopefully that'll give us some sense of perhaps how things will go with H1N1. But to be, we established a fully successful criteria, which was that each of the project areas would choose four consecutive weeks in which they would report this data. And this was, by the way, using seasonal influenza data as a proxy for pandemic. That they would report these doses administered by Tuesday, 11:59 of the given or the respective time zone for the previous week, and that the data would be sent from a minimum of eight clinics. Now, there were a number of states who were reporting via the immunization registry method who sent us all of the information, all of their doses administered information. And that we would also track by priority group. And in addition, one of the things that we found with the pilot in 2007 was there was very little linkage between the preparedness side of the house and the immunization side of the house. And during a pandemic, it would be important that those two come together. So we tied this exercise requirement to a FEP grant requirement and in order to meet certain of the biosurveillance exercise requirements, the each project area needed to report at least one vaccination information from one CRI MSA and one from a non-CRA MSA, unless they were one or the other. There are some all cities and some all non-CRA. And these were the pandemic plan which, as I mentioned, is being used for H1N1, but specifically customized for that, and we're addressing age groups rather than the original HHS groups. But these are the groups that were established for the original pandemic plan, and so we focus the reporting along the general population, thinking that people are already collecting information for the general population, so they would send the information according to the five tiers. And these are just some of the task expectations. We had task expectations on both sides, CDC as well as the project areas, and we had the pre-pandemic planning, the actual exercise itself, and then post-exercise activities. So pre-pandemic planning, we were requesting information about what option the project area was going to choose, that they choose a point of contact to work with us, and then, of course, on our side, we were making updates to the system as appropriate, as well as conducting webinars. For the exercise itself, of course, each of the project areas screened for the priority groups and then submitted the data by the time expected. And then we received the information and created the reports, as well as helped with troubleshooting, et cetera. And then as a post-exercise, we conducted what are we calling it? It's a survey? It's not a survey, it's a poll. That's what we're calling it. A poll, as well as an after-action report call, so that we could, take lessons learned and apply it either to future or exercises, or as in the case of H1N1, hopefully be able to support the effort in a more positive way as a result of the exercises. So here are the results, and we were very impressed with the results, and we're hoping that this will have placed people in a good position to respond this fall to the doses administered effort that we're about to undertake. It's a little bit of apples and oranges, but we want to just give you a sense of, the pilot in 2007 versus the DAX 2008. And DAX, by the way, is doses administered exercise. So we had really good participation. Everyone in both the pilot and the DAX, everyone identified a point of contact, everybody identified an option. So, that's pretty impressive for a national effort. And then when we got to the actual requesting dates, because we asked the people let us know what dates they had chosen. So when we got to dates of when the clinics would be actually conducted, we had improvements from the pilot to 2008, where we had 90% providing that information. So again, these are pre-exercise planning, but nonetheless indicative of the kind of participation and support for this effort. For the exercise itself, we had improvement over the pilot, where we moved from 89% to 91%, or 57 of the 62 project areas submitting some kind of data. They didn't necessarily meet all the success criteria, but they participated and sent some data. And then we actually went down a little bit with fully successful, but we like to think that since it was so much more complex, so it was a pretty darn good outcome, which is that 52% were considered fully successful, meeting all the criteria that I mentioned. And of course, we had significantly more vaccinations reported. And then on the post-exercise participation, we had an 84% completion of the poll, which was an improvement over the previous. And then we had 73% participated in the after-action review call. We always collect information on how many project areas participate. So this is the option choice breakdown, just to give some of the quick results. Majority still are in the option two category, and there's not been much movement with that from the pilot through to what we understand today will be used for the H1N1 effort. We thought we would include that. So as you can see, there's room for improvement since option two is a less automated approach, or at least in many cases. This gives you an idea of the breakdown. So we had some project areas, large project area, state of California, choosing to do multiple methods. And I think we're gonna have some of, more of that with the H1N1 effort, that we're able to support multiple multiple approaches, even within a state. What am I doing? Is it the right? No? Yeah. All right. So this may be a little bit of a repeat. Let's see if there's anything on here that, probably the only thing is that the majority met the biosurveillance requirement that I mentioned. And so here's just some a comparison of timeliness of methods. It's probably would have been good to show from the pilot, but we actually had an improvement on option one, that people actually got better at the timeliness from the pilot to DAX 2008, where we had very good timeliness with that option. And then we had less timeliness with the option two, which is probably not unexpected since there's more manual methods supporting the entry of aggregate data. And of course, you know, option three is real time, so it's is of course very timely. And then we also had wanted to assess, you know, in terms of the folks that reported that were successful, for those that were not, you know, were we talking about, you know, a lot? So we actually found that, the majority actually met either the 3 or 4 week indicator. So we thought that was a positive. Okay, so the feedback poll. The project areas were asked to complete an anonymous online feedback poll with different questions highlighting, you know, the ease of use, you know, whether or not this was a useful exercise, et cetera. And as I said, we had very good feedback on that. So just a couple of the questions. You know, was this a beneficial exercise in preparing for pandemic? And so we had either, we had the majority very beneficial or somewhat beneficial. So that was a very positive result. And then how easy was it to use CRA? I mean, is this a really onerous process? And so was it, you know, what was the feedback on that? And so again, it was either very easy or somewhat easy to use. And then the other thing, as I mentioned, the communication between the immunization and the preparedness was something that we were very much interested in improving. And so it was felt that, yes, indeed, this did improve the communication between the two areas. And then what issues, if any, did you encounter in transmitting data? And so we were able to get a sense of what were the big ticket items. And so the top one, and I'll mention in a moment about H1N1, the top one was digital certificate issue. It's very onerous to use digital certificates to access the system. So that was something that we wanted to see if there was anything we could do about either improving the process for accessing digital certificates, or was there a way to access the system without it? And then the other area, interestingly, was coordination between the health departments or clinics, that there were some challenges in getting the data in because of the coordination efforts. And then we had a few problems with SDN and data filing formats that we were able to correct pretty quickly. So what were some of the lessons learned? Certainly, writing it into the cooperative agreement that this was a requirement certainly helped, with, I suppose, participation, but also in increasing the communication and interaction between those two areas. In fact, it was, there were a couple of situations where we had preparedness, or could have been either way. Usually the preparedness that came out and said that they had just learned of the effort and so needed to be brought up to date. But that nonetheless was very positive. And that there was an importance of having, consistency, not only in communication, but in terms of requirements. We required for the programmatic side 8 clinics. For the grantee biosurveillance requirement, we required 2. So it's not unusual that there were those who were hoping to get by with just 2 clinics. But in any case, so we knew for future reference we needed to be more consistent. And then we found that going from pilot to exercise from 2007 to 2008, we needed to work on webinars and actually focusing special attention on special, perhaps special audiences that needed more one-on-one calls or more one-on-one attention. And then certainly the feedback was the screening requirement for the HHS target groups was very challenging, and that there was an interest in looking to standardize that across project areas. And then lastly, we had conducted a doses administered and safety training conference about the same time as the FIN conference last year, and we found that that was extremely helpful in terms of training and filling gaps in understanding. So that's the that's where we were with the exercise. And who knew when we submitted the abstract that we would be actually talking about, as somebody said, H1N1 will be the biggest tabletop exercise ever. But anyway, as everybody knows, H1N1 was declared a pandemic on June 11th. And the pandemic plan that I mentioned earlier has been applied to the response, of course, customized for specific requirements of H1N1. Doses administered will be monitored during the initial months of the vaccine campaign, and rather than doing the HHS target groups, we've revised to collect age group and dose number. And of course, the reason that we will be doing this is a lot to do with the safety monitoring, the accountability for the vaccine administration, and of course, situational awareness and vaccine uptake. And here are the age group categories that will be reported and the dose number. So what are some of the planning considerations? Obviously, the vaccine doses are very high compared to what we've done on the exercise. So we on the CDC side are doing a lot of capacity testing and ensuring that our environment can accept that level of data. We also understand that because of the nature, well, partly because of where public health is in the current environment in terms of resources, but also partly because of the populations that are actually being affected by the by the H1N1 that we will have a large contingent of private practitioners and non-traditional vaccinators that will be involved. So we are also trying to work with project areas to support them in any way we can to maximize compliance. So one of the first things that we wanted to do was to look at getting a security waiver for option two users, which is a less sensitive level of data that's collected, so that we can allow just a username and password. And we were successful. Our security, chief security officer has granted that waiver, and will be during the training tomorrow. We'll talk in more detail and over the weeks as to what that's going to entail. But basically, it will be much less onerous to access the system. We're also looking to provide, you know, flexible methods for reporting, of course, the number of options, but also allowing within a state multiple options. So some states are going to require their private practitioners and non-traditional vaccinators to, you know, report into the IIS, and that's fine, and we can extract the data. However, there may be an interest where they're not going to be regulars in doing more manual methods or more direct aggregate methods for that audience in certain cases. And then we're providing guidance and sample documents for collecting information in these settings. Okay, so that's pretty much it. This is the acknowledgement for all of those who participated. This was a very large and continues to be a very large effort with vaccine tracking coordinators at the project area levels. Of course, interacting within CDC with multiple parts of CDC, from the NICFI to COPPER and NCIRD. And of course, we couldn't do all this work without our excellent contractors. So I'll open it up for questions.
Let's see, any questions for Jeannie before she leaves the podium? Any questions? Do you have a question? Yeah. Any questions for any other panel? Yeah.
So
yeah, Carrie.
Brian Karras, Washington State Department of Health. Since the data that's being transmitted to CDC seems to be aggregate counts predominantly, is there any interest in, it would be somewhat impossible, but is there any interest in linking up with the reported cases, what the success or
Yeah, I mean, that's part of one of the things that we have as a fairly significant vaccine team, task force that's linked in with our epi surveillance group. And so the output from the vaccine side will definitely be linked to the outbreak. So, you know, more to come on that, but there's definitely an interest. In fact, even something as simple as the age breakouts was of interest to make sure that they're standard from, you know, the outbreak side to the vaccine side. So there's definitely going to be an interest in linking that data together.